It's Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're with us on the Ideas Network. Coming up, a look at last night's Grammy Awards. We want to hear what you thought.
First, immigration agents made over 600 arrests in at least 11 states over the last week. According to the Immigration and Customs Enforcement Agency, or ICE, the efforts were routine and no different from the arrests of undocumented immigrants that took place under President Obama.
But reports say there's a heightened sense of fear in immigrant communities around the country. Protests have also broken out across the country in opposition to the detention of immigrants and President Trump's executive orders. In Milwaukee, advocacy groups have organized a protest today called A Day Without Latinos, Immigrants, and Refugees. Protesters marched to the Milwaukee courthouse, and many of the marchers told the Journal Sentinel that they feared deportation in the current political climate.
Alan Gomez joins us now. He's an immigration reporter for USA Today. Alan, welcome back to the show.
Thanks for having me.
Well, the big question I think people are wondering about is this something new and different, these recent arrests, or is this a continuation of policies we've been seeing for the last 8 years?
Well, when you look at the total numbers of people that were arrested, and this is information that's been provided by ICE over the last couple of days, it seems that they arrested about 655 people in these raids throughout the country last week. And of those, something like 94% would fall into what President Obama referred to as his enforcement priorities. So that's people with extensive criminal records, people that pose some kind of national security threat, have gang ties, or have recently crossed the border. I did a quick accounting of the numbers that they put out, and of those 655, about 48 of them would not have fallen under those priorities. And I can tell you from having covered a lot of these raids over the years, those numbers seem to reflect a lot of what happened under the Obama administration. They do two or three of these raids a year. Just about this time last year, the Obama administration did a raid specifically targeting women and children from Central America, a very controversial raid at the time. But when you look at it in that context, it does seem like these were regular raids that they have conducted. The ICE director in L.A., said that they'd been planning this even before Trump signed his executive order on January 25th. But I think the concern is that President Trump has also vastly expanded the pool of people who he considers priorities. So what you have is a community on edge kind of waiting for that to start. So as soon as they hear raids, of course they're going to think that this is it. It's starting. But again, the numbers that we're looking at so far, it looks like so far that this is just kind of regular run-of-the-mill for ICE.
Do we have any indication that Immigration and Customs Enforcement is going to be changing its tactics, its own priorities, based on what they've heard so far from President Trump?
And that's what we're all watching for very closely. I mean, on the one hand, we have Secretary John Kelly, he's the new Department of Homeland Security Secretary, put in by President Trump. And just today, in a statement that he put out, he made very clear that they are going to continue their focus on those who pose a threat to public safety, have been charged with criminal offenses, and have committed other immigration violations or have recently reentered the country. That pretty much summarizes what President Obama's deportation priorities were, or the people that they would target. But at the same time, what we're wondering about are the less publicized ones, the ones that aren't in these big raids, that they're not putting out numbers on. And so what we saw a case in Arizona recently where a woman had been regularly checking in with ICE for years, she checks in after Trump is inaugurated, and boom, she's deported. So those are the kind of cases that I think we're all going to be watching for to see if this is all kind of PR, that, hey, we're just going to be going after the criminals, or if in reality they're going to be going underneath and really trying to get a lot of these people who don't have criminal records and aren't that much of a threat.
We'd been hearing from President Trump, then-candidate Trump, all along saying he wanted more enforcement officers, whether that meant hiring new people to do that enforcement or reshuffling the jobs within the Customs Department to bring more people out there doing these kind of arrests and deportations. Have we seen any kind of steps toward that?
Haven't seen any so far. That's absolutely not to say that they're not coming, but so far I can tell you I think the Department of Homeland Security has for the most part been focused on the travel ban for people coming from those seven majority Muslim countries that has been now blocked by the federal courts. And I can tell you that the sort of senior administration of The Department of Homeland Security has been consumed by that and trying to figure out how to challenge it in court, whether they need to write a new order. So this is, to some degree, I think, kind of, you know, the idea of deporting people already in the country is not exactly the very top of their list. But very quickly, they could change that because President Trump, yes, he needs more money from Congress to hire more ICE agents, but this is a very big agency. There's about 14,000 ICE agents, and only about 7-8% of them are tasked with actually going out and finding undocumented immigrants in the country. They're doing a wide variety of other things, and Trump could quickly retask a lot of them to go out into the country and do these things. We haven't seen that it's happened just yet, but obviously that's what we're watching for very closely.
Talking to Alan Gomez from USA Today, looking at recent immigration and custom enforcement arrests and deportations over the last week and the reaction to that. Alan, what are we hearing from advocacy groups? We've talked about this before this election even. Some immigration advocates had referred already to President Obama as deporter-in-chief. One year we saw over, 400,000 deportations under President Obama. Are immigration advocates particularly worried at this point about President Trump doing more than President Obama had done?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, this is the kind of thing where, you know, I think there was a period between the election and the inauguration where we heard a lot of people saying things like, oh, he's not going to go as far as he said on the campaign. That was just talk. But as we're seeing in this first few weeks of his administration is that he's definitely going after everything or a good chunk of what he promised he would do. So I think they're rightfully nervous to expect him to want to ramp up deportations to really increase the number of people that are leaving this country. Because understand, under President Obama, yeah, he reached the peak of 400,000 now several years ago. But in the last 3 years of his administration, those numbers really plummeted. So the last year of his administration, they only deported about 230-some thousand people from the country. And so I think what any of these immigration advocacy groups with any undocumented immigrant living in the country is looking at is a president who, from day one of his candidacy, said that this was going to be a priority of his, and there's no reason to think that he's not going to. The order that he signed on January 25th was very clear in expanding the pool of people who he would target for deportation. So I think they're absolutely right to assume that it's coming. We just haven't seen it just yet.
I want to talk about the state of immigration in the United States. First of all, from Mexico, what are the current numbers when it comes to people coming in from Mexico and people going back to Mexico?
Right now, it's pretty much flat. You know, the rise in the undocumented immigrant population in this country peaked throughout the 90s and the early 2000s. It was just just a flooding across into the United States from Mexico. Then when our economy crashed, then that's when things stopped and people stopped coming over here from Mexico. And last year was the first that the Pew Research Center estimated that as many people were leaving the United States and going back to Mexico as were coming in. The economy in Mexico has improved, so they have more job opportunities there. And just with the gradual increase in immigration enforcement in the United States, it's become harder and harder to get into the country and to stay here. And so what we have is this very flatlined level of immigration, illegal immigration coming from Mexico. We have seen some increases in other areas, for example, from Central America. So there's a lot of people coming from Honduras, Guatemala, and El Salvador as those countries grapple with just raging violence down there. But at least that the Mexican immigration, which is by far the biggest chunk of it, it has been flat now for several years.
I wanted to ask you about Central America because we've talked to you in the past about your trip down there, looking at the sources. The hotspots, if you will, of immigration for Central America. That hasn't been front and center in the headlines lately. What are we seeing when it comes to trends of people coming up here undocumented from Central America?
They're still coming. And this is one of these things. When you cover immigration for a long time, it's interesting to see when these stories kind of become national headlines. When they become sort of common knowledge. You know, right now it's the violence down there is still raging. Especially Honduras and El Salvador rank among the top five in the world when it comes to homicide rates. Gang violence there is terrible. Government corruption is a very big problem. A lot of people who just really think that they cannot that their children cannot lead safe lives, and so they try to ship them out and they get them out of here. And so those numbers have continued going, especially now that Trump is coming in. A lot of them said, hey, we better get in now before he takes office and really, you know, either builds his wall or really ramps up deportations along the border. And so we're still seeing those numbers coming across from those three countries, without a doubt. President Trump, in his executive order, did a couple of other things that would really target that. He's trying to end something called catch and release, where people who were caught along the border, they go through a court hearing, but then they're released into the United States and told, hey, come back for the rest of your court hearings. And many of them obviously don't show up and just blend into the country and aren't seen again by immigration enforcement. But once they start making those kind of changes, if they add more immigration judges and the speed with which we can deport people increases, I think that's when you might start seeing some of those numbers go down. But as of right now, it's still definitely a good number of people coming from those countries.
You mentioned the number of immigration judges. I've seen former Homeland Security officials saying this is one of our big problems, this backlog in the courts that deal with the border and with undocumented immigrants. How big a shortfall do we have there?
Oh, it's and I'm going to apologize, Rob. It's that I don't have the numbers right in front of me. It's been a little while because we've been chasing so many immigration stories
the
last few weeks. But what I can tell you, it's we're at least down a couple of hundred from what Congress has approved. So there is theoretically funding there to hire a lot more judges and judge teams to go down there because the backlog right now, basically, if you are ordered, if you go into an immigration proceeding, it could be a couple of years before you get a hearing, and then once you go through your appeals and everything like that, it could be a very long time before you get deported. So even if you hired a lot of judges, it would still take years to go through the backlog and to really get us up to speed on those cases. And that's why it's important. Another aspect of his January 25th order would be to expand the idea of something called expedited removal. And these are cases where people are caught along the border, especially, or caught within, I think it's about 100 miles of the border, and they don't even have to see a judge to be deported. Border Patrol agents and other people who have been sort of trained and given that power can sort of make the determination on their own and order somebody deported. And so that's one way to get around the fact that we're short so many judges. Again, I think that's one of the many, many stories just that we haven't been able to get to and spend enough time on to really examine because of all the other immigration executive orders and all the other things going on. But that's something that we should all definitely be paying close attention to, because once you take that power from a judge and hand it over to a law enforcement officer, that just raises all sorts of questions about their due process rights and about how they're being treated, whether their refugee claims are being processed correctly, whether their asylum claims are being processed accurately. And so that's something that we're going to be, again, watching very closely in the weeks and months to come.
Well, Alan, I'll let you get back to your reporting on that.
Thank you very much, Rob.
Thanks a lot. That's Alan Gomez. He's an immigration reporter for USA Today. He joined us to talk about the arrests of immigrants around the country over the last week.